As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. This is Claudio's Speakeasy, the literary and all else, with your host, the inimitable Renaissance man, the bard of WCOM, author, actor, narrator, adventurer, and host of Claudio's Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And now, without further delay, here's Claudio.
You talking about me?
I'm talking about
you.
You
talking to me, man?
I'm talking about you.
Good morning, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, the World Wide Web, and anyone tuning in. We're very grateful that you are. I've got a very special guest in the studio today, a dancer, Anjanee N. Bell, whose life we will go into in a very short while. I just want to open up by acknowledging our sponsors, our underwriters, that being the Carolina Theatre in Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre, where Anjanee just did a performance named Bellan, I believe. Am I pronouncing that right?
Bellan,
I'm sorry. But we're going to go on about that in just a minute. Also want to acknowledge Studio in the Woods, the independent film company with John Demers. If you're tuning in, I'm actually going to have to put on my hat and get some of these people to continue supporting us. It's about that time again.
Yeah, and we need to get them back in here in the radio station, and too, to
and
talk
I've told
to them
that.
Again, find out where they're at, what's happening.
He's actually working on a film project, so when I get that back in the picture. I thought I'd start the show off with some funnies that were recently sent to me by a friend. I have these friends that seem to feel responsible for my sense of humor while I'm on radio. But this one I couldn't pass up. We're going to take apart some Latin terms here.
Okay.
The first one is, what is rigor mortis? Do you have any idea?
Rigor mortis.
Yes.
Has that got something
As opposed to rigor mortis.
Has that got something to do with cigarettes?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's not Philip Morris now.
No. Okay.
It's actually if you have a...
I thought that was like if you smoke too much, you're dead.
Oh, be quiet.
Okay.
It's if you have a cat named Morris, it means your cat is dead. Rigor mortis.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Never mind.
We didn't mention these are actually dubious Latin phrases.
Yes, these are. These are twists on Latin phrases. And then there's que sera surf, which means life is futile. And then I added my little addendum. Then you die and wind up in a B movie about zombies and meet people like my co-host.
Oh, see, I thought that meant whatever the surf is, you got to live with it.
Well, coming from you, I understand.
Yeah.
And then we have mon âge à trois, which means...
I know what that means.
No, it means I'm 3 years old.
Oh, not so, mon âge.
So get everybody back off the couch,
but
right? Not mon âge à trois.
Not mon âge, but mon âge.
Back off the couch with you. And then there's pro bozo publico, which means support your local clown.
Yeah, and we do that quite readily here at the station.
We have to, otherwise who'd survive?
Yeah.
Then there's respondez s'il vous plaît. P-L-A-I-D, and that means honk if you're Scottish.
Oh, I see, yes.
Quip pro quo. A fast retort, kind of like we are on the show.
Yes.
Visa la France. Don't leave your chateau without it. Now, carne diem means seize the meat. Now, it doesn't mean all of you get back on the couch. It just means literally seize the meat.
Uh-huh,
so behave yourselves and go back to your room.
Uh-huh.
And then I think that was that on that. And then they sent me this thing about turning 60s. Yes. Yes, goodness is always a good person to thank.
Yes.
This is a question and answers about turning 60, and it's actually from the AARP. Where can men over 60 go to find younger, sexy women who are interested in them? Any idea?
I'd like to know that, except...
All right,
it's not quite appropriate for
try me. A bookstore under fiction.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the only place.
What can a man do while
like
his
me,
wife?
You know?
What can a man do? You're bumping the humor here. What can a man do while his wife is going through menopause? Keep busy if you're handy with tools, because you can finish the basement. When you're done, you'll have a place to live. And next one.
That's
someone
bad.
Has told me, I know, someone has told me that menopause is mentioned in the Bible. Is that true? Where can it be found? Yes, Matthew 14:92, and Mary rode Joseph's ass all the way to Egypt. How can you increase the heart rate of a 60-plus-year-old husband? Tell him you're pregnant. How can you avoid that terrible curse of the elderly wrinkles? Take off your glasses. Some of these are not quite as funny as others, but I don't know which ones they are.
That's pretty good. Take off your glasses. Yeah, that's
less magnified. Seriously, what can I do for these crow's feet and those wrinkles on my face? Go braless. It will usually put them off. Is it common for a 60-plus-year-old to have problems with short-term memory storage? Storing memory is actually not a problem. Retrieving it is the problem.
That's where the difficulty comes, yes.
As people go, or as people age, do they sleep more soundly? Yes, but usually in the afternoon.
I can testify to that, yes.
Those good old naps. Where should 60-plus-year-olds go look for eyeglasses? On their foreheads. You had to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, we'll be done with this in just a moment. What is the most common remark made by 60-plus-year-olds when they enter antique stores? Gosh, I remember these.
Oh, God.
So we're done with that. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. I've never said that myself, but okay.
I'm going to hunt down whoever sent me these things.
Yeah, we're going to punish them severely.
So now to get to the bones on the meat of our show, or meat on the bones of our show.
Yeah,
or,
let's go that way with it.
I want to introduce Anjanee N. Bell, and I'm going to just read a statement that she has made before actually bringing her on to talk about her Belan Dance Company and all things that go with that. They just had a very successful performance at the Carolina Theatre in Durham, I believe it was May 23rd.
Yes.
Lovely.
And this is quoting Anjanee. Every voice incorporated in the Belan experience reflects a distinct artistic style that empowers the communities it serves. Belan believes in the value and power of integrating diverse creative voices to inspire and build a unifying message. Belan recognizes that while creation begins from within, it is important to allow others to share in the experience with an understanding that the art we create is bigger than ourselves. Belan is proud to be in a community that embraces unique expression. It is our hope to continue forging relationships that will enhance the cultural landscape of this community, inspired by all things. Belan defines a multicultural, multi-genre, multi-generational experience where quality is first without exception. We believe that by creating outstanding experiences, we spark the imagination and fuel dreams. Belan is more than a dance. Belan is a culture. Belan is an experience. Thank you for coming out to support this vibrant, up-and-coming new dance company. If you would like to learn more about us and our events, please visit our website at www.belanarts, that's BELLANARTS.org. And as far as enjoying the show, I heard that many did. So, Belan, I want to call you Belan every time, but you're actually Anjanee. Please tell us about this new dance company you're forging into wonderful existence, and we'll roll the ball from there.
Well, I'm excited to be here and having the opportunity to share this with you, Claudia.
It's wonderful to have you on. Sorry about all that bad humor.
Well, we are a very new, up-and-coming company, and we are very excited about our premiere that was very well received this past weekend.
At Durham's historic Carolina Theatre, I might add.
Beautiful, beautiful theatre. And we were fortunate enough, to perform there in 2007. But this is May 23rd was a very new experience for us in terms of just being in the theatre. The group of dancers and artists that we work with, the tremendous crew that was there to just add more fuel to our fire. It was a wonderful experience. And
I know they had to change out most of the lighting for your show, so that was a pretty big enterprise.
Yes, it was. It's just, it was just being able to produce a performance that pushed, mm-hmm. I mean, really, really pushed. And from the choreography to the music, to the lighting, and Stephen Dupour, which I worked on this crew, he was a blessing. because he was an extension of the work. When he came to the table, it was at my request of a friend, Michael Pryle. And I asked, I said, look, you know, I really need a lighting director that would push and would just enhance my voice as a dancer, as an artist, and that I could just trust to do what they do and did well. And Steven was that person.
Well, that's as good a salute as any artist can hope to get from another.
Yeah, so I think it went well. I think it went pretty good.
Well, that's all I've heard. So how was the experience overall? I know you said years ago you fell in love with the stage at the Carolina Theatre, as did I when I first walked on it many moons ago. But I know that in some ways this was sort of an emergence for you. So mm-hmm. So tell me about that experience. How did you sort of come out of that shell and emerge on that stage? What was the significance? And I know it was also shortly after your birthday. Well, your birthday was May 5th.
Yes, my birthday was May 5th.
Mayday.
Yes, Mayday. Mayday.
A nautical term for not friendly seas.
The experience at the Carolina Theatre, I mean, the theatre itself, it just with the history and just its natural and raw beauty as a company, and doing the type of work that I enjoy, which is raw, out of the box, it was an awesome experience.
It's not surprising, you know, that you see it as a good canvas.
Yeah, I do, just because, I mean, when you stand on the stage and you look out, you know, you look out into the audience and empty, you know, without anyone in the theater, it's just, you know, I mean, you could just feel the history. I mean,
you're adding to the number of legends that have been there mm-hmm. before you, in whose footsteps you stand on the very stage.
And it's just, you know, when I was telling my dancers, spend time, just go on the stage, just absorb the magic. And I guess that's really been the word for me, is it's the magic.
The indefinable.
Mm-hmm. And when this performance, you know, premiered, it was just about the magic. It was about creating it for the audience to share and just be filled with. And just to be in a legendary theater, like the Carolina Theater of Durham,
and to think they wanted to turn it into a parking lot. I was one of the people that helped fight against that.
Well, good fighting. I mean, I think the Carolina Theater is a beautiful staple for Durham. It says a lot. It speaks to the history. It speaks to the cultural landscape, to all the things that, you know, Durham is really trying to emerge and be about. I think the Carolina Theater is just that added...
It's somehow another step in validation.
Mm-hmm.
It's as historic a property as exists anywhere in the world
mm-hmm.
for what it has had on its stage and what people have accomplished there and the great artists that have chosen to make it a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I can see why you wanted to unwrap that as a birthday present to yourself.
Yes, and it was. It truly was a wonderful experience, and I'm looking forward to continuing our growth as a company in this area, and especially with the Carolina Theater. It's so hard, I mean, to find all of the right words to put around that experience. I mean, it was just one that I'm very proud and very humble at, you know, the support that we received, and I'm looking forward to doing more and, you know, collaborating and just really bringing you know, the voice to the community.
And the whole idea with the arts is to find people to collaborate with anyway. Mm-hmm. You never know where those connections are made. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're made on stage. Other times they're made walking into a pub. Who knows?
Yes.
You never quite know.
Yes.
Very much like you and me just deciding to do a little collaboration on Mud in Your Eye, the piece
That's right.
I wrote about New Orleans. So
that's
you,
right.
You never know how it happens. Happened at WCOM this time.
Exactly.
Radio stage. So, I'm very curious as to the performance pieces that you selected and just the overall, if this isn't me making it complicated and asking, but the overall statement you chose to make in this emergence of your dance and of Belan.
I guess the statement that I find myself making and constantly evaluating is relationships, because I mean that's what life is about. I guess not putting the work in this beautifully, you know, crafted box with a nice bow on top and just giving it to the audience. For me, my work is about, it evolves, it grows and breathes as I grow and breathe. And the body of work that was selected, it came from this higher place, you know. I would find myself months, you know, sitting and listening, and you know, listening in silence to the right direction in terms of how to craft the show, trying to make sure that it pushed and it provoked, and it allowed the audience to have that experience that is just synonymous with Balan. And you know, this show, I guess I feel like this performance, it's been growing for years.
I'm sure.
Just really experimenting with different ideas, but somehow always being the same, and that being about relationships, the ins and the outs, the diverse layers, the strong emotions that erupt. I think for me, being a passionate individual, and constantly finding myself speaking through movement, mm-hmm. and experimenting personally. I mean, I guess as an artist, I mean, that's your work, you know, it speaks to you. I think a lot changed for me after being a mom, to be honest.
Oh God, I can imagine.
And I think the first piece, which was called, it's entitled Birth of Existence. It wasn't from a standpoint of, you know, ideas about creation from the biblical. It was more about life, you know, how anything starts.
And more in the individual experience.
Yes. You know, I mean, just a conversation, how a conversation may be begin. Like, our, you know, this, the start of this, you know, this radio interview, our meeting, that's the birth of something.
Very true.
Great.
Very true.
And so that initial piece is about everything else that we do as a company. And it's very dear to me just because it began as something, you know, long ago, and to see it grow to what, you know, it has, with this May 23rd performance, and thinking about where it's going, as an entire suite. Yeah, I'm just along for the ride. I'm waiting to see what happens. I have great thoughts for, you know, where we're going, and these pieces, certain pieces, like in the second half of the show, it opened with Cupid,
mm-hmm.
and Cupid was a piece that was brought to me by a new artist, Jocelyn Ellis, who's extremely talented, young, vibrant, raw. I mean, all of the things that I am attracted to as an artist, and just her energy. And when it was presented to me, it was instant for me. I mean, I'm kind of I'm an extremist in that way. It's either I'm drawn to it or I'm not.
So you were going through a bit of an auditioning process in that sense?
You know, not necessarily. Like, you know, I always say to people, because, you know, I get asked, well, how do you find your music? I don't find music. Music finds me.
It finds me.
And she found me. And it's just funny how life is. It came to me through a family member of hers who was a friend of mine, and you know, she shot me this MP3, and she said, "You have to hear her. You have to hear her music." And I heard the one song, and I said, "That's it." Mm-hmm. And you know, it grew, it evolved, and you know, Jocelyn is now a part of this Balan family, and her
wonderful.
Music is just—it's amazing. It's one of those things. Again, it's about the experience. You have to mm-hmm. really listen and embrace her music.
What would you say the music is? What is the influence? African American? Is it more of a world sound?
It's
just curious. I don't know.
You know, her sound is so many different things. It's just like how I was asked about what modern contemporary dance is. You know, she, too, is not an artist to put in a box.
So non-specific, which is wonderful.
Yeah, non-specific, which is wonderful. And I hope that, you know, it's my hope that this community here and abroad will allow Balan to be just that, not necessarily confined to one specific thing, that will be appreciated as an arts organization that is constantly evolving and pushing. So therefore, to excite and ignite.
Something tells me Balan is not going to need permission. You don't look like the sort that asks for it.
Well, now, when I try to describe music, I always start with instrumentation. What is the instrumentation in this music?
In Jocelyn's music?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's
going. Guitar, voice, keyboard, strings?
In this specific one, it was the piano.
Piano.
Okay. But you know, it's so funny in saying that, like just you asking me that question, I had to really think, because her voice is so amazing that it is the instrument.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, like, sometimes I hear music and it's a very clear distinction, piano, bass. I mean, it's that clear. But with her, it's so raw and so beautiful. You know, I was having this conversation, you know, with her just about, you know, creating. And, you know, and I said, I hope for her that she will stay true and just allow her beauty to grow, and that the industry will not change that, because it's so magical. And that's what I believe. I believe in creating, and creating with Balan is about putting magic out for people just to be re-energized.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like that. You know, what she added to this premiere Balan performance, it was that magic.
Incredible.
You know?
Was she throughout the performance? Or was she
throughout the first half.
I see.
And of course, because and her song opened up the second half. And the reason we decided to do, you know, the recorded track was just because Cupid is such a passionate piece of music that, of course, is sometimes speaking. You know, if you're passionate about something, it's not always the same.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, dancing and having dancers that, you know, are depending on choreography to be consistent, you know, it was a risk. And so that was one that we said, okay, this one, you know, we'll do recorded, just because of just the emotional intensity of the piece. I mean, I guess all of the pieces in the performance, they were all unique in terms of the meanings and the different voices, but no matter what, they were always about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Cupid was extremely passionate. The second piece, which was Sonata.
I know I was asking you earlier, pardon me for the brief interruption, mm-hmm. but to define your own out-of-the-box style, I would say you're probably a mix of genres. Would you consider yourself sort of falling into the interpretive, or is there a broader span than that?
I think interpretive is fair. I think it's fair to say, just because
you can't really stereotype interpretive, because it's wide open.
Exactly, and I guess that's how I feel about Balan. We're really wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very strong. We are a company that does not mind pushing. We're a company that is extremely athletic,
uh-huh.
very emotional. We just truly have a message that we're trying to send.
And freedom of expression is obviously one of them.
Exactly. Freedom of expression. And, you know, I guess because, you know, my mother raised us, my sister and I, just, we were able to say, you know, we were able to feel, we were able to say what we wanted, as long as we did it with respect, of course. You know, mm-hmm. we weren't disrespectful children by any means.
I know when we spoke earlier, you said that your mother was one of your strongest influences. So
my mother is.
Let's go there a bit.
Yes, my mother is. I'm fortunate enough that she's my mother, my rock. You know, she's my best friend. You know, people
who
would
see us. That's great to be able to say.
Yeah, you know, people would say, you know, see me and know my mother was somewhere, you know, behind, somewhere lurking around. And I guess I've never been the type of person that idolized people, you know, stars. You know, I've just never been that way.
There's no real point in that.
No, and so, you know, I guess I always felt like we're all human, and
some of us just have a better job, right?
Yeah. You know, but I felt like, you know, I have the ability to be in those same places. And for me, my mom is just my strongest influence. You know, we may not always agree, but no matter what, I think, you know, she's reared me. She's been that voice. And she's my biggest cheerleader, my biggest supporter.
Give us some of your other inspirations. I mean, I really like the ones you pointed to when we had a conversation over at Weaver Street earlier.
You know, my other inspirations, you know, especially in the dance world, of course, to say Alvin Ailey, I mean, that's really a classic when
almost
you talk about dance.
Almost goes without saying. Yeah.
Yes, goes without saying. Emotionally, Martha Graham, just in terms of the history and seeing her through archives and, you know, teaching styles and just performance. I mean, just the performance, just the emotional intensity and the strength, you know, of her work.
And I believe she based herself greatly on emotion.
Emotion, and that's me, you know. It's just not, I definitely will say that I allow technique to enable me to do certain things, but a lot of what I do is about emotion. Because there's just nothing like a dry performance. And I think, you know, emotion will resonate more than technique any day. And, you know, it's
well, it goes straight to the heart if anybody's really tuning in. Yeah. But as a reach, that's where the reach is.
And so, you know, I guess I find myself in those constant debates, you know, about what's more important. And I think, of course, the balance. But emotion will win every time, you know. I think Catherine Dunham, too. Just an anthropologist, and you know, I enjoy anthropology. It was something I studied in college, because I feel that I'm a very eclectic person. I enjoy life and people and studying people and the world, and those are Graham.
So I would imagine then that travel has been somewhat of an education for you.
Yes.
I know it has in my life.
Yes, it has. Always wanted to go out of the country, and in 2005 I got the opportunity to go to Spain and to Mexico, and you know, just to kind of be still, and that was very important for me at a time where I was not as clear about my artistic gifts and purposes in life. And so I went abroad. It was something I said that I always wanted to do, and I did. I went back to school just to go and travel, and it was a great experience. One, because it got me out of a comfort zone. Two, it allowed me an opportunity to embrace a culture outside.
And it sort of comes off the pages that way, and you live it in reality, and it's amazing how much more that expands the mind as opposed to just studying theory in a classroom.
And you know, it's funny because, you know, when we talk about culture, sometimes, you know, ethnicity is always sometimes attached. And for me, what I learned about in going outside of this country and then, you know, reflecting back in, it was just about the human experience and those elements. And that really provided a foundation for me to come back to this country to create, because no matter what, it's about the passion, you know.
Absolutely.
It's truly about the passion. It's about the vision and being very clear about that and pushing, you know. It's about
especially oneself.
Yeah, pushing oneself. And I guess for me, I've always been stubborn young. When I say I was stubborn when I was young, I'm determined now that I'm older, and I'm just determined to give life to my gift. And I've embraced it, you know, living outside of this country enabled me to embrace that about myself, because I was still, you know, I was still, and I wasn't dancing, you know. I was living life in a different place, and that was what I needed to come back and be clear.
I'd like to celebrate that statement with a statement from my late good friend Marcel Marceau, who one of the last conversations we had was at the Carolina Theater. He did a performance there. And something told me that night that was the last time I'd ever see him. We've had a 20-some-year friendship, always been in touch by postcards. Whenever he was in the States, he'd let me know and I'd come and meet him. Sometimes I'd walk into his dressing room while he was putting on his makeup. So I think I was one of the few people that can say that. But he pulled me aside one night at the Carolina Theater when I went back to give him a big hug for a 10-minute standing ovation he just got. He was 86 or 87 and doing the agile performance that he does. And he sort of sensed that I wasn't doing as much as I should be doing with my own gifts. And he pulled me aside. He said, Claudio, you are as true an artist as any generation could hope to produce, and you have a responsibility in your art. And ultimately, that's the crux I took with me, that as an artist, if you are any good at all, and if you have a mission statement, if you have something to yield by which anyone can benefit, then you have a responsibility in that. It's no longer a matter of choice to you. It's a matter of go forth and do it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what you're saying.
Yes. And I guess if I could inspire or encourage, you know, anyone in this lifetime, it's just know what you love and what you're passionate about and find a way to make it happen and do.
Somehow.
You know, and
the more you do, the more the doors will creak open.
Exactly.
They may not swing open as we would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really do that.
You know, but it's that walk. It's that walk of faith, that leap of faith, however it is. But you just have to believe in yourself. And
I think as an artist, we get a particular dose of it from the man upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, no, you ain't going through that door until you've paid that price.
Yep. And so I guess if that is the one thing, it's just that I just believe in doing and going after what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And all else, I won't say it's a waste, but I definitely don't think it's, you know, honoring, you know, what you're supposed to be doing in this world. Life is too short. And
yeah.
So
whatever you're working through to get there, you just got to keep on doing it until you can find that bridge. Because I know we've all taken jobs we really didn't have our hearts in as a means not to be starving on the road to where we were going.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we're not doing either of it for wealth.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, I mean, it would be nice to have enough money not to have to worry about what you're going to do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what you're going to do tomorrow is going to be to fall back into your art.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not about money.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Money is purely a tool, a fuel.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And for me, I guess that's how I've looked at my life. I've done many different things. I felt like those jobs that I've taken were those building blocks and stepping stones to enable me to be in the seat today. Just because I am fortunate enough to have the support of my parents, and my family and friends.
Speaking of that, I'd like to sort of create a little bump in the road here.
Uh-huh.
Your parents, your father being the mayor of Durham.
Mm-hmm.
How about enlightening us on him a little bit? I've met him on stage at the Carolina Theater, and we've shaken hands once or twice, but I don't really know the man, and I'd love to hear something about him.
Well, I know this you know, for my dad is
hello,
is
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, it's very new for him in terms of me as an artist. He's very, very supportive in terms of giving voice to being responsible and having a plan and a well thought out plan,
mm-hmm.
You know, and making sure things are taken care of and your obligations are met. But one thing I'll say about my father is that he's really committed to what that tagline, the great things are happening in Durham. He commits himself well beyond 100% every single day.
Incredible.
to being clear about the beauty of the community and the people.
Give us his name.
His name?
Yes.
William
We're talking
v,
about this wonderful
William
gentleman.
V. Bill Bell.
There we go.
William V. Bill Bell, the
Just
mayor
thought we
of
might
Durham.
As well complete the metaphor with the actual name.
Yes. And so, you know, he really is. I mean, that's one thing I say, you know, he does an outstanding job of dealing with sometimes the not so pretty.
Oh, I'm sure.
But he's very clear when he speaks. You know, he's very clear about what he says and his intentions, and you know, you can trust in his word.
He always gave me a very determined impression.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And he has a very silent force, and you know, he when he speaks, you know, you can trust what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak on anything that he doesn't know. And you know, when it comes to Balan, he's still learning. And
what's, you know, my daughter up to?
Yes, you know, and he did. He gave me very encouraging words, and you know, he said I couldn't do it, and so you know, that was, you know, from him.
You're the mayor.
From that perspective, it meant a lot, and you know, he's done so much and is very admirable, and I only hope to be a part of the cultural landscape of this community. I'm definitely not. I wouldn't say I'm a politician. You know, definitely not.
Well, I'd like to give you a mission for sometime in the future.
Yes.
Get your father to come on my show.
Okay.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Be honored to have you.
So, but yeah. So that's William V. Bill Bell, the mayor of Durham.
And he's obviously found his niche in being a mayor, or does he often stand in front of the mayor and go, "God, what am I doing here?"
No, I think, you know, I really can't speak for him, but I you know, from the outside, I truly believe he loves what he does.
He must.
You know, just like I love creating. I think everyone's an artist in their own right, and I believe he's an artist in terms of the type of growth that he has enabled and empowered others to give and to contribute. I mean, from the Durham Performing Arts Center in downtown, I mean,
right,
that's just tremendous. The American Tobacco Campus, I mean, those, the scientific properties, I mean, all of the different green fire,
mm-hmm,
all of the different energies that are verging. I mean, it's just incredible. And he's had a hand in that.
That's pretty,
I mean,
amazing.
The school systems, I mean, just so much. And yeah, I mean, I'm very proud, and you know, I'm a part of the community when I say, you know, thank you.
Absolutely.
For that.
And going back to that, you're actually going to open your school in the American Tobacco.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not. Somewhere we're going to be downtown, and so
somewhere downtown. Oh, so it hasn't been determined.
We haven't determined.
Oops,
yet.
Sorry, folks.
But we will be coming downtown Durham, and so I'm really excited about some of our community partners, and
we're talking about Bellin Dance Company.
Yes, and so we'll be downtown, and I'm really excited about not only just the performances that we're going to be able to contribute to this community, but the training facility as well. And you know, from ages little bitty ones, and the sky's the limit. There are no walls in terms of saying, "Oh, we only cater to young."
Good.
Young. It's, we're multi-generational. If you can move, then we're for you.
Well, that's the way all the really good dance companies throughout really history have done dance.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I mean, if you look at even the earliest companies, you know, with Pavlov, the company that I forget the name right now, the Russian troupe, but they, mm-hmm, had a school where people would come at a very early age and start to study, mm-hmm, and they would go all the way up through when they couldn't dance anymore, and then they would become choreographers or producers or different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just want to interrupt for one moment because I'm going to forget it otherwise. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you from WCOM 103.5 FM. We're in the studio with Angenie of the Bellin Contemporary Dance Theatre. And that's my co-host speaking over there. And we also have Ivy.
Yes.
Sitting in the studio with us.
Good morning.
And I think that's all she wants to say today. She's just determined to be in that little corner. And Jean-Paul, if you want to give us the rest of the code there behind you.
Well, we can say this now. I was going to do it near the top of the hour.
Well, in that case, do it at the top of the hour.
So let's do that.
Go back to what you were talking about.
Well, what I was curious about was a couple of things. We can take them one at a time. What's your background, training, how did you get started, that, mm-hmm, kind of thing? And the company, how did it get started? Who are the other people in the company? And, you know, name some names and embarrass some people. Go
ahead. Okay, well, how did I get started? I got started dancing in the lower level of my home. I think I've always been dancing. That's how I got started. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened that I was giving
rhythms
shows.
Rhythms from the basement.
Exactly. I was giving shows, you know, talent shows, any kind of show that I could possibly give in my home. And my mother saw my passion and love for moving, my sister and I, and she decided to enroll us in a dance class. And
where was this?
At the time it was at Bar Dance Center.
In Durham?
In Durham, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And following that, we left that particular studio and we went to Nina's School of Dance in Durham. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know Nina's, and that was a great foundation. And the time that we took there, it was a different time of teaching. You know, it was wonderful in terms of the rigor, just the high expectations of us as young people, and as students. It was a great foundation. And then following that, I was supposed to go to North Carolina School of the Arts, and then I changed and ended up going to University of North Carolina at Greensboro.
Very good dance school there. And, my daughter went there.
Mm-hmm. And so,
got a degree in dance.
John Paul, by the way, has a strong background in dance, and his wife.
My wife is a dancer.
Okay.
And she teaches at the Triangle Youth Ballet.
Oh, really?
She used to teach at Bounds Dance Studio.
Uh-huh.
And she was a member of Dance Sync, which was a group that used to do, a semi-pro group that used to do lots of work around here. And I wrote many musical pieces that they performed with. And she now does the Triangle Youth Ballet. She's the director of the young children's section there.
And John Paul teaches ballroom dance. He had a big square
made
as a
John
dance
Paul.
Floor in his own home. So yeah.
Yeah, when I built my home in Chapel Hill about 10 years ago, I put in a ballroom.
See, I love socially. I mean, social dancing.
Oh, it's tons of fun.
It's just, it's tons
so
of
much fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I guess that's something I think, that's one aspect of dance I think should be in schools. I think, because it teaches a lot about relationships and
it's a microcosm for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to dance with other people.
With
a partner.
Yes.
And with more than with other partners.
Mm-hmm. Learning how to make those two left feet work.
And learning to interact socially in that way is a microcosm of relationships, absolutely.
Which texting and all of those new forms of technology, it scares me.
Well, if you add dance.
Dance of the fingers.
Yes,
if you add dance onto all of that other stuff, it makes that other stuff different,
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it change.
Mm-hmm. I think the previous ones is called the dance of rheumatism.
Now, what about the formation of your company and the
formation
and the people involved?
Okay, well, it's very interesting. I think what makes Balan very different as an organization is because we're really community-based. So this time around, a lot of my dancers, they came from Durham Public School Systems, some of those being former students, some of those current students between middle schools. Some of my students came from Shepherd Middle School. My sister, who is a teacher at Shepherd Middle School, was one of my dancers, but she also teaches. She teaches language arts and she teaches dance at
now,
Shepherd.
How many people are we talking about?
14.
Well, give us some of their names.
We have 14. Let's see.
Who's the dance teacher you're talking
about? Okay, let's go from the older ones. The older ones, Christian Bell Hughes, which is my sister. She teaches at Shepherd. Nicole Oxendine, who is the dance teacher at Hillside High School. Amanda Pope, who is the dance teacher at Neal Middle School. Bernadine Fields, who is the dance teacher at Southern High School. Students, Kelsey Holly, who is a student at Durham School of the Arts. Joshua Smith, he was Neal, he's Southern. Leon Samuel is Southern High School. Brianna Head is our youngest dancer. She was our youngest dancer, and she's incredible. Shepherd Middle School. Heather Lee was one of my former students at Southern High School when I was teaching there. So she's strictly from community. Sakara Edgehall is a DSA student. Alasia Morrison is a Shepherd Middle School student. Ramel Harris was a former Neal student, but he is now Hillside High School. And Kimberly Wynn, she was a former Durham Public School student, and she just works in the community. And Jared Floyd, his sister was actually one of my students, and he is Jared. He's at Neil. So that kind of comprised of the mix of dancers that we worked with.
All right, and you taught at high school level?
Yes, and I still do.
And did you get a degree in education, dance?
No, what? I did not. Actually, my formal degree is in clothing textile design.
Oh, okay.
So yes.
Interesting.
So yes, that's my...
How to dance into your clothes.
Yes, and so those were the mix of dancers, and then another divine send was Gaspar Louis, who was a former Palabolas dancer, and we were able to dance. Those. Yes, we were able to collaborate this time around, and it's truly been a blessing. He's amazing. He too is he is starting a company in this area as well, and so we are hoping to do many great things together.
Are they still adding the nude dancing element? I know that was a big controversy for a while, but I thought it was always beautiful. The Palabolas, I think they added nude dancers.
I don't know. He's not... I cannot speak to Palabolas. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I know they were very daring, which is what I liked about them.
Yes, they were.
I saw some of their performances that were... They did a couple of nude things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
while it was very entertaining.
While we're at this...
Okay.
Be quiet. We're not on that page anymore.
I'm just kidding.
While we're at this, give us your contact information. Again.
My contact information, website is www.bellanarts.org. It's B-E-L-L-A-N, arts, A-R-T-S.org. Telephone 919-641-7106.
And you've got performances coming up again, I think, slated for some time
We have
November, did you say, at the Carolina once again?
We have performances slated for September at the Haytai Heritage Center.
Ah, wonderful.
We also have a performance in which we are collaborating with Gaspar Louis in October at the Reynolds Theater at Duke.
Oh, wow.
We'll be back at the Carolina Theater in November. And
keep
then
me
next
tuned
year,
into
yes,
all this.
Of Good. Course. And then anything else in between, you know, we're just trying to make happen.
Just check out the website; you'll find
yes,
out the other
check
details.
Out the website; you'll find out more details. June and between June and July, that's when we'll start doing registration for the school. And you know, it's wonderful because the school is just not, like I said, Balan is more than dance.
Just so you know, Anjani, every time you hit the table, it sounds like a bass drum coming.
Oh, really?
Boom. Sounds like you're completing a statement.
That's okay. It's kind of punctuating.
Yeah,
really?
I didn't want to erase it, but I wanted to make her aware of the musicianship she's providing
yes,
us.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I love the drums. Good. But but yes, and so you know, our school is really just about, you know, bring in all artists, all diverse artistic voices. Mm-hmm. And the other artist that I did not mention who was wonderful in this project was Victor Murillo. And he is a multi-instrumentalist and just wonderful guitar and flutes. I mean, he's just extremely talented.
Yeah,
he was really incredible in this area. And he, too, is an artist that is, you know, he's trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always think artists, we have to stick together and make things happen.
We do. We're a life force unto ourselves.
Yes. Another member of the company, I forgot, Paul Newman.
Paul Newman,
yes,
wait a minute.
Paul,
he left
I know,
us.
Right? Paul Newman.
I think he's gone. You can ask Robert Redford.
So he actually played percussion in this performance.
All right.
Very young artist from DSA, Durham School
Paul
of
Newman,
the Arts.
What a fortunate name.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I know, right? So that really, you know, pretty much was the company.
Incredible.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know you had a great performance because I've heard nothing about raves about it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, just to sort of go backstage for a moment, mm-hmm. how do you see yourself as a person behind the scenes, as the director of the upcoming production or the one that has the primary input, so to speak?
Behind the scenes, I think I am much like how I am on stage, extremely driven and passionate. I think I'm disciplined. My mom, you know, sometimes she says I'm not, but
I don't think parents ever get to see that part.
I think I'm pretty disciplined to do the just so many, the tasks that this production required, and, you know, really
it's
starting
a
company.
Itself.
Yeah, and just starting a company, the art side and business side. Behind the scenes, I think that I believe about myself. I'm very clear about what I want. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just determined to be able to get that. I don't think I'm inflexible in the sense that if something comes to the picture and it enhances the process, I'm very open to that. And I think that
wonderful.
In terms of saying that, that's what will enable other artists to come in to Belon
yes.
and work and be a part of the process. I'm open. I'm a really open person. I'm very fluid, which means that like some of the elements that came together with this production, they came, you know, weeks prior to, you know, it's just, it happens to me a lot. I work 24 hours a day. There just never is enough time. I truly breathe.
That's the thing about
creativity.
Living in the artistic mind, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's always there. It's
yeah.
it's what drives.
And so, you know, that, and that's always the conversation about turning it off. I don't think I know how to do that. You know, I have this conversation all the time, with my parents, in my family, and it's just like sometimes you have to turn it off. No, I don't know how to turn it off. I think because when I step out into life, everything provokes, you know, me to create. You know, I could just be in silence, and you know, through silence so much comes to me. Or walking here to, you know, mm-hmm. to the studio this morning, I mean, it's just different things are popping in my head. So I think that's what people will know about me. And another thing, you know, behind the scenes, my dancers would call me Dreamer because I would come to rehearsals and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I had a dream. And then so much would come from, you know, from sleep, you know, from just my downtime sleeping. I'm mm-hmm. still working.
It's what the psyche finds its mm-hmm. comfort in. So it's going to
yeah.
stay alive. Very much
so, I mean, for me, I think as much as you see on stage, that's really me behind the scenes too.
And here's a qualifying question for the Carolina Theater. Did you find that your technical support at the theater itself was what you expected it to be?
Yes. This time around, I definitely say the crew on this project, they were really outstanding.
Bravo. Good.
I think this was the best crew to premiere.
Fantastic. That's
so
I was
very fortunate.
So give yourselves a hand out
yeah.
there, techies.
So I definitely, yeah. And George on the sound, he did a fabulous job. So,
all right. I
yeah.
wonder who was on the sound.
Yeah, George.
Oh, George. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, George was on the sound. So yeah, Carolina Theater it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm definitely looking forward to going forward again. Ray Pascal over there. I mean,
Ray's.
He's outstanding.
He's a buddy of mine. Yeah,
yeah.
He's good
I mean,
sort.
He's always made sure we felt like we were at home, and you know, and I really appreciate that.
And I'm going to try to make that Vegas trip with you next year, Ray, so don't give up
I
on me.
I know. I would love to make that trip,
yeah.
too.
We might have three. So I copped out on him last minute because of something that came up in my life, but I was going to go this year.
Well, I think we probably ought to start wrapping up the show.
We better, because you've got John Paul's got his own show coming up next. He takes on political issues.
That's right. And we want to have time to play the
and
closing
Tummel's
music. And
politicians.
So you really want my dad to be on the show, huh?
That would be great.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd like him to come on my
show.
Actually,
I'd like him on mine.
Show. Yeah, on both shows. Okay.
We'll put him on that show first, and then
can spill
he'll be
over.
Here
That's
for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I want
to get into a different part of the psyche, and John Paul can have the political end.
Okay.
So, but hey, it's been absolute fun having you on. Consider yourself a part of the Speakeasy family at this point. Because
I
we'll
love
do this,
it. I
we'll
love
do this
it.
Continually as things emerge that you want to bring up and discuss. And plus, I want to mention that you and I have agreed to collaborate on my piece about New Orleans entitled Mud in Your Eye. So I hope to add that to your
yes.
upcoming performance.
I'm very excited. And I also want just to thank Ivy, too. Ivy and Betty.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big shout out to Betty and Ivy.
Because, yes, Ivy is really going to be spearheading, pushing us out there.
Give us
there.
The full name. Ivy who?
Ivy Wright Arnold.
There we go.
So she's over there.
Lovely.
In silence, but yes, and she'll be,
right.
you know, really about putting Belon on the map, and so I'm really excited. She's a godsend, too.
She's certainly enthusiastic about
yes.
it, as I know Betty is, so this is a wonderful commingling of talents and spirits. Again, congratulations for a wonderful wonderful performance at the Carolina Theatre. Folks, thank everybody you. Listening, tuning in, we thank you for joining us here at Claudio's Speakeasy, the literary and all else, and hope to see you, as one sees one, on the radio again next week. Until then, cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. As the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me. And I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart, and the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back to you.